And so we want to bless each other and be a blessing to each other. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this day. Speak to our hearts. May you pour out your blessing to our hearts today. And Lord, we take the promise of your Spirit to fill your servant, to give me the words to say, and open our hearts to receive it, to believe it, and to act upon it. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Today, our title of our message is The Miracles and the Menaces. All right. Introduction here. Do you know what a miracle is? Have you ever seen a miracle? Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, saw several miracles. Do you know what a menace is? Do you think about this? Nehemiah had several menaces. And Nehemiah tells us of the attacks from outside. We saw that already in chapter 4. And then the attacks from within in chapter 5. And now in chapter 6, we're going to look at some personal attacks that came upon Nehemiah. First of all, miracles. The words used in the Bible describe the miraculous, include these words, signs, wonders, a work, a mighty work, and power. And these point out that God's activity in nature, history, and people. God is a God of miracles. So what is a miracle? A miracle is an event which unmistakably involved an immediate and powerful action of God designed to reveal His character or purposes. So a miracle is something that only God could do. Supernatural. Something that only God could do. Now there are examples all around us of miracles. And miracles happen all the time, even if we're not aware of them. God's strength and His power are at work. Certainly, some of the daily miracles include salvation, God's work in our hearts to bring us to the point of salvation, or to bring others to the point of salvation. That is a miracle. And then we see examples here. Mankind may have certain abilities, and Nehemiah had, certainly he had leadership. We could say he had engineering. He knew how to design the building of the walls, organizing the people, and praying abilities. But when we look at this, God has the ultimate power to arrange for Nehemiah's position. He was a cupbearer. God did that. Made him a cupbearer. To give the king's approval, that came from God. That King Artaxerxes would approve Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem. To get the people's cooperation, people working together, that takes a miracle. To overcome the opposition, both from without and from within. And to get the work finished in 52 days. Unbelievable. 52 days. They finished the reconstruction of the walls around Jerusalem. And so only by God's strength, God's mighty hand, and His gracious hand was this miracle completed in 52 days. And you know what? When you see a miracle, others, even the enemies, realize that this work had been done with the help of God, just like we read today in our verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 6. All those around were amazed. All them realized this was God's hand at work. Only God could do this miracle. Now, there are times of God's mighty works. During times of Moses and Joshua, we see many miracles in the Bible during those times. And certainly in the days of Elijah and Elisha, we see many miracles. And then Jesus, in the times of the apostles, there were miracles. And these were, of course, God's a period of transition in history and God moving in special ways. You might ask, are there miracles today? And there are miracles. Miracles from Heaven is a true story based upon a book written by Christy Beam, a story of God's miracle in healing her daughter. Last Friday night, we watched the miracles, the story that we saw a film there, movie called The Miracle of the Cards, a true story. And in that true story, there are at least four miracles that happen. A young boy that Chris, he had a brain tumor. Such a tumor that grows usually in the stomach, unheard of being in the brain. It grows so quickly. Usually it grows in other areas of the body. And so it's very rare that's ever in the brain. And three times, miraculously, God spared his life in that story. And then the miracle also of the cards, asking people to send cards, his mother to encourage him. And also that people would pray for them. And he received 350 million cards. Certainly was a world record. But God is still doing miracles today. And so we look to God and ask for God for miracles. So we see in Nehemiah chapter 6, we see miracles. But we also see the menaces. This is not a word maybe you hear so often in English. A menace is a threatening, troublesome, and annoying person. All right? Menace. All right? And so in chapter 6, we see some of the menaces who attacked Nehemiah and trying to do the work of God there. Now, if any of you are interested in the cartoon, maybe you've heard the cartoon figure or the movie, Dennis the Menace. Anybody ever heard of Dennis the Menace? All right, a few of you have heard of Dennis the Menace. And he was always troubling Mr. Wilson, the neighbor next door. It was always troubling him. This little boy was very curious. Think of him maybe as Curious George. All right? But Dennis the Menace, here's an example of Dennis the Menace. The new year had come and Mr. Wilson was yawning, and he thought he would go to bed early. How about you? Aren't you staying up for the New Year's? His wife asked him. Fireworks, George? Not on your life, George said. I've had enough excitement for 1 year living next to that little firecracker. Of course, referring to Dennis. And so Mr. Wilson went to bed early on New Year's Eve. And then, of course, the middle of the night, in comes Happy New Year, Dennis yelling at Mr. Wilson. Are you surprised, Mr. Wilson? Yeah, I'm surprised. The alarm didn't go off and the police aren't here. So Dennis the Menace is a fun character, always kind of, you know, causing Mr. Wilson, troubling Mr. Wilson. Now, leaders are often blamed for things that they didn't do. Sometimes leaders are even criticized for things they tried to do. From without, others mocked Nehemiah. From within, others stole from the people. We saw that. But here in chapter 6 are four personal attacks against Nehemiah. So as we look at these, I want you to consider, what are the enemy's strategies, four strategies in attacking us? As we try to work for God and do what God would have us to do, and then what are God's four principles? How do we respond to these attacks? So the first attack I want us to look at here is called compromise. Compromises in chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. They said to Nehemiah, come, let us meet together. And so they attempted to lure Nehemiah out of Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, to a little village I don't know, 5 miles or so from Jerusalem called Ono. I think that's a good name for a village. When anybody tries to lure you away from doing God's will, Ono, that's a way to remember that village. That's Ono, no, 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 not for me, Ono. That was really the name of that little village. But that's a good reminder to us. When someone tries to lure you away, just say, oh no, I don't want to go to oh no village. Oh no. Good way to answer. Oh no. And so the enemy's strategy, number one. If you can't beat them, join them. Then take over. And so they said to Nehemiah, we will meet you halfway. Now, that may sound all well and good, but remember, all compromise is based on give and take. Give and take. Now, sometimes a compromise can be good, but not always. It was Mahatma Gandhi who said this, all compromise is based on give and take, but there can be no give and take on the fundamentals, the basics. Any compromise on mere fundamentals is a surrender. We can't give and take on the basics, on the fundamentals. For it is all give and no take. So yes, there are times we can work together. But there are times on the fundamentals, the basics, we cannot compromise. So here is God's principle, number one. It is good to cooperate with right people at the right time and for the right purpose. We can do that. But we have to reject compromise when it comes with the wrong people at the wrong time and for the wrong reasons. And that's what Nehemiah faced here. It was the wrong time, the wrong reason, the wrong people. And so decisions based on convictions must stand. And Nehemiah had discernment. He realized that he could not leave the work that God had for him to do there to meet halfway someone he should not compromise with. And so Nehemiah determined not to compromise. You see that in Nehemiah chapter 6 and earlier in chapter 2. Now turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. It's a good principle for us to keep in mind. Praise God that the Shawnee Bible Church, another local Bible-believing church here, has invited us, and we are going together to work with them and doing a vacation Bible school, August 1st to August 5th. And we need to be in prayer for this. Some of the leaders met with our leaders. I had the opportunity to meet their pastor earlier in the week. And this afternoon, there will be an opportunity to go over there. And if you're interested in helping out and this reaching out to our neighborhoods, reaching out to the children, vacation Bible school during the evening, 5 day, 5 evenings, August 1st, August 5th. Be in prayer for this. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we see again this principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and starting at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We're thankful to have another Bible-believing church like this, Shawnee Bible Church, and that our church could work together with them in doing this vacation Bible school. But there are others who in the name of Christianity do not believe the Bible. That do not believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again. And so we cannot compromise with unbelief. So here's a strategy, the enemy's strategy. Beware of it. Meet me halfway. To distract us. It's so easy to get distracted. Meet me halfway. No, I'm sorry. Oh no, I can't go there. Oh no, I won't go to that village. Oh no, I won't get distracted. And remember God's principle. We cannot compromise on the fundamentals, on the basics of God's Word. So here is the first attack. And then the second attack came with slanders or slandering. And they said that we will tell everybody about you. All right? Nehemiah 6, 5 to 9. And so what did they do? They sent an open letter accusing him of sedition for everybody to read. Now normally when a letter was sent out, it was sealed, so it could not be opened. But purposely they did not seal this letter. And so it was sent out and all the neighbors could open it and read it. And so this slander, this gossip reminds us of the enemy's strategy. Strategy number two. The enemy's strategy, it has been reported. Have you heard what so-and-so did? Gossip. They tried to divide and conquer. Now remember this about gossip. Gossip is news you have to hurry and tell somebody else before you find out if it's true. That's gossip. What should we do first? We should find out, first of all, is it true before we tell others? Or even, we should handle it in the right way, as the Bible tells us. So when you hear something, have you heard about so-and-so? Did you hear about this? What should be our response? So before you speak, you should think. Now, I would write this down. I think this is good for all of us. You don't have to write every point down, but there are some things that maybe you need to take note of, and I think this is something we all need to take note of. Before you speak, think. Before you speak, think. Now take the letters of think. Ask yourself these five questions. Number one, is it true? Is it true? Before I would tell anybody else, I need to know it's true. It may be half of a truth and not the whole truth. It may not be the whole thing. Secondly, I need to ask H, is it helpful? I mean, is it helpful for me to tell someone else about this? Even if it's true, is it helpful? And then the third thing, I, is it inspiring? Will it build up somebody? Will it encourage somebody? Is it going to be inspiring? Or will it tear them down? And then N, is it necessary? Is it really necessary for me to repeat this matter to someone else? Are they a leader? Is it something that they could help with the solving this, whatever it might be? Is it necessary for me to share this? And then K, is it kind? Am I really helping this person by sharing with someone else? So, before you speak, think. Now, I know that's difficult. Sometimes our mouth runs ahead of our minds. And we have to stop, think, and then speak. And so I think this is good for us to think about. God's principle number two then is also, we handle false accusations and gossip by speaking and seeking the truth and denying the lies. Nehemiah simply denied the reports. He denied it. It's not true. He prayed to God for strength when the enemy would try to destroy him and bring him down and pull him down. He prayed for strength. A simple prayer, but a prayer we often need to pray for. And then what did he do? He didn't worry about it. He didn't fuss about it. He went back to work. What an example Nehemiah gives us. You know, here's the principle. If we take care of our character before God, our character is what we really are, we can trust God to take care of our reputation, what people think we are. Your character is more important than your reputation. We've been helping out with a English conversation class with some scholars down across from the KU Medical Center. There's 100 or so Chinese scholars that come every year for a year. And so doing our English conversation, each week we take a different topic. And our last topic was reputation. What does reputation mean? And so we took this topic of reputation and looked at some idioms and expressions and what's reputation. Of course, reputation is what people think of you. But character is what you are before God. Inside is what you are. That's your character. And so principle number two is so important. If we take care of our character, our integrity before God, we can trust God to take care of our reputation. And we talked about having bad reputation. What's a good reputation? We talked about a reputation that losing reputation and gaining reputation. But if we have character before God and before others, we don't have to worry about our reputation. And so slanders may come, gossip may come, but we need to remember this principle. And then the third attack came. Seems like each attack is more severe. We start out with compromise. That seems like and then next comes slander and gossip, more severe. And now the attack is lies. Here are the lies that we read even today in our scripture reading. We will protect your life. And so there were threats upon the life of Nehemiah. And so they were trying to get him, we see here, let us meet in the house of God inside the temple. Let us close the temple doors to protect you. And of course, they really weren't interested in protecting Nehemiah. They were wanting to get him there. So we see the enemy's strategy again. Pay people to falsely accuse and discredit others. People were paid. It tells us here in the Scripture they were hired to give false witness. It reminds us when Jesus Christ was put on trial. They were hired to give false witness against Him. Shimei was a hired and false prophet to discredit Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said these words, I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. So Nehemiah was very discerning. He realized that these lies, these were just men telling lies. Now, here's a couple of things that can help us understand. First of all, never lie to someone who trusts you. Remember that. Never lie to someone who trusts you. And never trust someone who lies to you. That's a pretty good principle to remember. It's never trust someone who lies to you. I'm sorry, if they're going to lie to you, they're not to be trusted. And so Nehemiah realized. Now, we have to have discerning eyes. Real eyes realize real lies. Try saying that fast 3 times in a row. That's a tongue twister. Real eyes realize real lies. Let's say that together. Ready? Real eyes realize real lies. All right? There's a lot of truth in that, even though it's a tongue twister. When you have discernment from God, real eyes, you will realize that those are just real lies. People are saying, it's not the truth. They're lies. And so when we're attacked by lies, we can't allow that to defeat us. And so we see the example here, God's principle. Nehemiah, he prayed for those who falsely accused him. Yes, we pray for our enemies. But he also said, remember my God because of what they've done. He put them in the hands of God. And God deals with liars. And so, we see the compromise, we see the slanders, we see the lies, and now the fourth attack comes. Each time, more severe than the previous attack. And so the fourth attack, we will frighten you. We're going to scare you out of here. And so there were spies who wrote letters of intimidation. I mean, it wasn't just one letter. Several letters to intimidate them. To intimidate Nehemiah and the leaders of Jerusalem to stop building the walls. And so we see the enemy's strategy. Number four, it's a campaign of intimidation. Sending many letters to Tobiah and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. And these letters kept going around and around. Now, it's well for us to remember that the promises of God are greater than the threats of the enemy. When you're under threats from the enemy, you know they're not true. Just keep in mind, God's promises in His Word are greater than the threats of any of our enemies. And then I like this hymn here. This hymn, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail or attack us, by the living Word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. When we attempt to do anything for God, we have to stand upon the promises of God. And so the principle here, principle number four, when you are threatened, remember that the promises of God are greater than the threats of the enemy. And standing on the promises of God, we shall prevail. And so Nehemiah, he ignored the letters, he ignored the threats, and he kept on working until the job was completed. And in 52 days, that's less than 3 months, they completed the work. To the credit of no one, but to the credit of God. That God's name was glorified among all, even those who the enemies who surrounded them. Now here are some things that we can apply. Important lessons that can be learned. First of all, look for the miracles. Let us always be looking for what God is doing. And when we see what God is doing, let's get behind that, what God is doing. So look for the miracles. Look for where God is working. Look for what God is doing. And then also, we need to be... Oh, I'm sorry. All right. We need to beware of the menaces. What is the opposition doing to disrupt God's work? How can you improve the way you handle the opposition? Don't compromise biblical convictions. The Bible says it. I believe God's Word is truth, and that settles it. I don't debate what the Bible says. That's God's truth. That's God's authority. I don't have to defend the Bible. God is true, and Satan is a liar. John 8:44. And let every man who does not trust God's Word be a liar. And then number two, Don't listen and repeat gossip and slander. And also, don't believe everything you hear or read about Christian leaders. Realize that those who are in place of leadership are often attacked. Do not, in fact, 2 Timothy 5:19 gives us a very clear instruction. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. So, if you have received, someone gives you a gossip or a slander against an elder or a leader of the church, you need to have two or three witnesses. Or take it to the elder, take it to the leader. As it tells us in Matthew, take it to that person. And then number three, we are to ignore lies. Listen to truth. We have to have a discernment to recognize lies and truth. Real lies. Remember, real lies, real lies. And then number four, ignore the threats and trust God. Stand on God's promises. We will not fail if we stand upon His promises. Here's a verse I would like for all of us to read together. It's Philippians 1, verse 6. Let's read this verse together, everyone together. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1, 6. When God begins a work, He completes it. That's what this verse tells us, both in our lives and in God's work and in the lives of others and in this church. So the story of Nehemiah began. So I prayed. That's how the story begins, chapter 2, verse 4. And then we read, so I came to Jerusalem, chapter 2 and verse 11. As the king allowed him to do that, he put feet to the vision that God had given to him. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. The people came and strengthened their hands is next. Followed by, so built we the law, the wall, excuse me. So built we the wall around Jerusalem, 4:6. So we labored, we continued in the work. Verse 21. And now we reach the end of this part of the story. So the wall was finished. Chapter 6 and verse 15. 52 days. It was a miracle. 52 days the wall was finished. But the book doesn't end here. Nehemiah, the rest of the book we're going to see, must protect what has been accomplished. This is the theme of the rest of the book. Building something. It's only part of the work. Once the building is completed, maintaining and keeping our hearts tuned to God and standing on His promises as we continue to maintain the work that God has started. And so we see that in Nehemiah. The work is completed. We must do the work that God calls us to do until He brings it to completion. And then we maintain our hearts working together to fulfill His purposes for our lives. There's much we can learn from Nehemiah. Let's close in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may face attacks, even personal attacks. You may face discouragement. You try to follow God and what God would have you to do. You're trying to build your life for God. Remember this promise that God will complete His work. And many times God does it in a miraculous way so that many people are amazed. Only God could have done this. And may that be the case. But help us keep our hearts in tune to Him. Father, I thank You for the lessons we can learn from Nehemiah. Oh Lord, I pray we would see Your work, Your hand at work, Your power at work. and doing miracles in our lives and in this church. Father, we can say and point that this is something that God did. This was God's doing. We think of this vacation Bible school coming up where our church, in cooperation with another Bible-believing church, working together to reach our neighborhood and our community. Father, we pray the results of that, that we would all say, this is something that God did. And we would see many miracles, many young people, children, young people giving their lives to You. And Father, show us how we can become involved in this and how we can help out. And Father, encourage our hearts that we would finish and continue the work that You have called us to do until its completion. And we give You the glory and the praise, for it is Your work, and we are Your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.